Amen. I love that. Oh, to see my name written in his wounds, for through your suffering, I am free. Amen. What a love. What a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. So thankful this morning that he chose and was willing to do that for us. Even though in his humanity he struggled with it and he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. And he was willing and he was ready and he went all the way to the cross. He paid that price. At such a cost. The very blood of the Son of God Himself. And now you and I can stand forgiven at the cross. Truly, what a love. What a love. Let's open with prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for that love that so selflessly. And even we could say carelessly in a way because you didn't care for yourself and for your own interests, but you poured it all out for us, Lord. Thank you for that love that reached down even to me. Thank you that through that suffering, through that price that was paid, I can stand forgiven at the cross of Christ Jesus. Totally at peace. With God. Lord, truly we're beyond words. There's no way to express our gratitude. Lord, we can't even comprehend the magnitude of that kind of love. But Father, I pray this morning as we open your word that you would stir our hearts afresh and anew to draw near to you. Lord, truly, as we talked in the Bible study this morning, to be known of you. In your precious name. Amen. I want to go this morning first off to Psalm 9, a psalm of David. And I'm just going to start here, kind of bounce through the first few verses. This is a psalm that David wrote. He says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou settest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And then verse 10, he says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. This is kind of a follow-up to what I preached last Sunday. I've preached recently about to know him is to love him. Last Sunday we talked about to know him is to obey him. And this morning I want to look at to know him is to trust him. As he says in verse 10, he says, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. This isn't just based off of just a, well, this is the right thing to do. This is, I've heard people say this is a good thing to do, but this is based off of, I know him, I know his character, I know who he is, and because I know that, it genders trust from me to him. I trust him because I know him. I trust him because I know him. If I don't know somebody, it's pretty hard to have much confidence in them or much trust in them. If I don't know their character, if I don't know their personality, if I don't know what they are going to naturally try to do. If I meet somebody random on the street and they say, hey, give me $500 and I'll give it back to you tomorrow, I probably don't trust them. If I know somebody and I trust them and they say, hey man, I'm a little short and could you spot me some cash and I'll pay you back tomorrow, if I really trust them, I'll say, sure, I'll do that. Because I know that they're actually going to come through with it. Here he says in verse 10 that those that know God's name, and this is more than just a head knowledge, but this is a knowing of him as God, his character, his personality. He says, they will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. So this is based on the knowledge and the confidence that God doesn't abandon those who trust in him. God doesn't abandon those who seek after him. So based on who God is, I can and I should and I will, as I get to know him, trust him more. My trust and confidence and dependence on him is going to grow deeper and deeper the more that I know him. Because to truly know this God whom David is speaking about here in this psalm is to have the same kind of an expression of love and adoration to him that we see in the first several verses here, as David can't stop. He's like, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in them. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. David's heart is overflowing. He can't get done saying good things about God because he knows him. He's seen him moving and working in the world around him, in his personal life. He's experienced God's grace. He's experienced God's forgiveness and mercy. To know that is to trust him. It will bring that response because I can't know someone who cares so deeply for my soul that, as we sang, what a cost. That God loved me and the rest of humanity enough that he said, I am going to make a way of salvation even though it will cost me the death of my only son. To know that kind of a God, you can't help but trust him. If he gave his own son for us, Paul says, how will he not freely give us all things that we need? If he didn't even hold back his own son, what would you expect that he's going to hold back? If I'm willing to give you the most precious thing and dear thing in my life, you can pretty much count on it that I'm going to give you anything else too. Because if I'm willing to give that, obviously that is the level of my love and my care for you. And God has demonstrated again and again and again throughout history from creation his love for humanity, but never greater and better and more mind-blowingly powerful than at the cross when he gave his own son to be brutally slaughtered for you and me. To know him is to trust him. David says, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee because thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. This is God's character. God doesn't turn his back on his people. And he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He never has turned his back on those that seek him. And he never will. Jesus promised before he went back to heaven, I will never leave you or forsake you. We can count on that. If you know his character, if you know the one making the promise, you can trust the promise based on him and his character. I want to move on to Psalm chapter 31. Well, I guess not Psalm chapter 31, but Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And let's look beginning in verse 13. This is again a psalm of David. He says, For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. What does that mean? They can't kill me till you're ready for them to kill me. My times are in your hand. I am invincible until God's ready for me to go. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. David here again is expressing his trust and confidence and reliance on God, not just based on I've heard good things about you, not just based on somebody said it's the right thing to do, but I know your character. I know that you are great. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them to fear thee. I know that it's worth it to serve you. I know that you have everything in control. I know that you love me. I know that your mercy is great towards them that seek you, he says. I know that you have wrought great and amazing things for them that trust in you. I know whom I am trusting. I'm not blindly just saying, well, I'm supposed to trust God, so I'll just trust him. Blind faith, as they say. Or just somebody said it was a good thing to do or it was what I was supposed to do. No, he knows God because he's walking with God. He's developing a friendship and a relationship with God where he knows him, he trusts him, and he depends on him. And when the enemies around him are physically plotting against his life, he says, hey, I'm confident. Not in myself, I'm confident in God because I know that God has my times in his hands and that nothing can happen to me until it's his time. And I know his character, that he wants to make his face shine upon his servant. All of these requests that he makes here are based off of a knowledge of the fact that that's God's character, that God is going to want to do those things. He says that he's asking him to make thy face shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. These things are based off of knowing God's character, that that's what God does. He's not asking for something crazy and wild and unreasonable that God's never done this before, but maybe he'll take a chance and do it this once. No, he's asking God based on the character of God. Because the character of God is consistent and faithful. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He extends mercy. He shows forgiveness and graciousness. He rewards those that seek Him. One of the passages that I probably go to as much as just about any other passage in the New Testament is where He says, "He that cometh to God by faith must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." That is God's character. That's what God does. That's who He is. He rewards those who seek Him. My faith and my trust in Him isn't just based on what I've heard, isn't just based on what somebody said, but it's based on the character of the Almighty, unchangeable, eternal God who isn't going to let me down. I do and will let Him down again and again and again throughout my life, but He doesn't ever let me down. He doesn't ever let down those who trust Him and who rely on Him, who depend on Him, and who seek Him diligently. He's promised that again and again and again, and He has proved it again and again and again. And I can look in the Word of God, and I can look back in my life, and I can see instance after instance after instance, and I know the closer I get to Him, and the more that I know Him, I know His character, and I know I can depend on Him, because I know that He is good. I know that He is loving. I know He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I know it's going to be worth it. I know that He's got my back. I know that He's never going to leave me or forsake me. I know. And that causes me to trust Him. And the closer I get to Him, and the more I get to know Him, the more fully I just rely on Him. Naturally, I don't have to make myself trust Him because it's what I'm supposed to do. And, oh man, it's really scary out here, but I'm going to make myself trust God. No, the more I know Him, the more I simply will trust Him because He is trustworthy. I've spent enough time with Him that I've seen His character. I've seen His works. I've seen the things He does. I've taken His word into my heart. I know His character as He's displayed it all down through history, all down through the dealings that He's had with mankind. I know the love He has for me. And so I freely and willingly trust Him. Because how can you not trust a God who loves you that dearly and selflessly? How can you not trust a God like that? The more I come to know Him, the more I will trust Him. It's just the natural outflow. Going on to Psalm 36, verse 5 through 7, He says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings." Again, this trust is based on who He is. It's based on His character, His unchangeableness, His mercy that reaches to the heavens, His faithfulness that reaches to the clouds, His righteousness that's like a great mountain, and His judgment that's like the deepest sea. His unchangeableness, His excellent loving kindness. Because of these things, because of who God is, He says, that's why the children of men can put their trust under the shadow of Your wing. We can be confident. We can trust Him. We can depend on Him. We can rely on Him because of His character. The more you know Him, the more you trust Him. Second Timothy 1 verse 12 says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, For I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. I don't just know about him, I know him. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed. I'm not being pushed around and buffeted, Paul says, by all these persecutions and tribulations and hardships I'm in. Why? Because I know whom I believe. I know him personally. And that knowledge genders confidence and trust. I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Job echoes this thought, or maybe Paul is echoing Job's thought rather. When Job says in Job chapter 19, verse 25 and 26, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." I know that. How do I know that? The little Easter song says, "I know he lives because he lives within my heart. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." I know that life's going to ultimately be fatal, right? Everybody who lives eventually is going to die. But I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that in the end, he will come and stand upon the earth, and I will see him. I know that. That this confidence, this knowledge of God was what buoyed Job through his difficulty and his hardship, losing 10 children, everything he had. His health was gone. He was literally sitting there with a broken piece of pottery, scratching every inch of his body. It says from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, there was not a single part of his body that didn't itch. He was miserable. His friends were there. Friends were there comforting him and making him more miserable. His wife was telling him, "Hey, just curse God and die." But Job carried on faithfully through all of that because he knew who his God was. He knew his Redeemer lived. His Redeemer liveth. Currently, present tense, he does live. And that I will one day see him. Even if nothing else ever goes right for me through the rest of my life and I die a miserable pauper in a gutter somewhere, someday I will see God face to face. And it will be heaven because I know that my Redeemer lives. I know whom I have believed, Paul says, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I want to look briefly at just some passages that speak about the character of God, who God is. Numbers 23, verse 19, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" God doesn't lie. God doesn't change. God doesn't say he's going to do something and then not do it. He says, God is not a man. He's not like us. He's not frail, and he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change who he is. He doesn't change his character. It's not like a year from now you come back. Sometimes if you have a close friend and you don't see them for a year or two, you come back and you see them again and you go, something's different. I mean, they're still a great friend, but something's different. And I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. God is never going to be like that. He's not like the children of men. He says here, he is not a man. He's not like the son of man. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change. James 1, verse 17 and 18. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And what is his character that doesn't vary and doesn't even give a shadow of turning? This is his character: of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. He himself of his own free will decided to redeem us. I've heard people say, and I believe it's straight up heresy, that God owed it to mankind to make a way of salvation. He did not owe us anything, but of his own will, he himself decided in himself that he would redeem us simply because he wanted to. And he loved us that much. He didn't owe us anything. But this is his character: of his own will, he himself wanted to do this. He begat us. And that character, James says, never varies. It never wavers or changes. And it doesn't even have a shadow of turning. There's not even the tiniest little bit that you're like, wait a second, did that turn a little bit? The shadow looks a little different. No, there's not even a shadow of turning. There's no variableness. No variableness. He is forever the same God who gave his own and very only Son to redeem you and I. And that character has not, does not, and will not ever change. I already quoted Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Another characteristic of God: he does reward those who diligently seek him. He does protect those who put their trust in him. He does follow, and not follow, but walk with and uphold those who depend on him. That's part of his character. Psalm 103, 8 through 18. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. This is stating the character of God. God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, thank God, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. This is God's character. This is who he is. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's who he is. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. This is God's character. This is who he is. He remembers that we're dust. He's full of compassion and mercy if we fear him. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. This is our God. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. It never ends. It never changes. It never runs out. It never fails. To those that fear him. more you know, the more you trust. I want to look yet at Hebrews 6, verse 16 through 20. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16 through 20. He says, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation to them is an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability or unchangeableness of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath." Okay, so here we have an eternal, unchangeable God, but He wants to show us even more specifically, even than just based off of His character. I shouldn't say just, but more than based off of His character alone, He wants to give and to show unto the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His will and His counsel. He confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That is a deep, abiding trust. A strong consolation, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ has entered into the holiest of all holy places in heaven, and He has made the sacrifice necessary so that our hope, our firm, strong consolation can be anchored in the very holiest of all holy places before God Himself, anchored in Jesus Christ Himself. So that we can have a strong consolation and know that we know that we know that God is able and willing to bring us to be with Him, to adopt us as His children, to purify us and make us like His Son, to guard us, to watch over us, to protect us, to care for us as a father pitieth his children. The more I walk with Him, the more I get to know Him, the more I see His character, the more I will trust Him, because He is so trustworthy from everlasting to everlasting. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning for Your word. Lord, I thank You for this promise that You left us. Lord, not only Your character, but You also confirmed it with an oath, Lord, that we could fully and completely and truly and entirely trust and depend and rely on You, that You will care for, that You will save, that You will cleanse, that You will adopt us, those that come to Christ by faith. Father, help our hearts and our minds and our whole beings to draw closer to You and to know You better, that we may trust You more fully and deeply in every aspect, in every area, in every part of our lives. Even if nothing else ever goes right for me, I know whom I have believed. And I know that He's in charge. In Jesus' name, amen.